friends. Welcome. It's episode 5 already of Ask Robin Black. This has been awesome. This has been my favorite part of the week now. A couple of weeks we did it twice. If you haven't seen all the episodes, I'm hoping they're still relevant to you and that we've explored cool ideas in them that you could go back to. If you're watching this nearish when I'm doing it, Happy New Year 2017. Maybe we'll talk about New Year and resolutions and stuff. If you're watching this at a later date, it's really cool that you're coming back and checking this out. And thank you. And I hope there's some relevant ideas that we're going to do and talk about here. I'm a little bit hungover. I watched UFC 207 last night with my friends. We did a preview show here. So we go live up on TV and talk about stuff, get ourselves all pumped up. And then I went to my buddy West Coast Dave's with my good friends who I love watching fighting with. And we drank tequila. And so I'm a little hungover. I hope my brain still works. You know, all of these things affect you, right? You are the sum total of all your preparation, everything you've learned, and your rest and all these things. So, yeah, last night was pretty awesome. Going into the fight, particularly Cruz and Garbrandt, we're going to talk about Ronda as well, lots of different things. We're going to tie it into life and what we're learning. For me, fighting, it's important to me to try to be a thought leader as best I can in fighting. That's something I try to do. And I try, if I think I have an idea or a perspective that someone might like, it's important to me to try to share it and get it out there and get other people passing thoughts around. And one of them that we've been concentrating on a lot on this show and with you guys and in general over the last 6-8 months is what we learn from fighting. That fighting is not just this thing we watch and this thing that's cool and something happens and then we forget about it tomorrow, but how we can find meaning in it and we can use it and use lessons that we see from the fights and the fighters and the ups and the downs and the moments that we can apply to life. That's important to me. That's how I've found happiness in a lot of areas of my life is studying martial arts. And so that's a big reason why we're doing this. And I'm hoping that this spreads, that now instead of talking about the rankings or what somebody said or even how somebody kicks, is we talk about what we learn from martial arts. I'm hoping that a year from now, when we go into 2018, this is normal, that everybody talks about fighting in terms of what can be learned from it and how it can make us better people. That's what I want to do this year. So obviously last night, Cody Garbrandt became the bantamweight champion of the world. I was thrilled to be so wrong. Thrilled. These are moments. I've got some resources, different resources here we're going to try to use today in different ways as best we can. But these are moments where you learn dramatic things, brand new things, new questions, new truths, new realities, things you were sure of are now uncertain. That's exciting. This is just coming to me. Bear with me. I hope this makes sense. I'm thinking about S curves in things. You know, like an S curve. Can you see that? Chase, can you see that? Yeah. Chase just showed me the thing. S, right? An S curve of things, anything. So I'm going to use this S curve to kind of show you about how we learn something. So we start out, we don't know anything. We're trying to learn things. It's taking a long time. We're not getting a lot of information. Slowly, my S is not all that slanted. Maybe it should be more slanted like that. We slowly start to learn things. We slowly start to gather information. Then the platform of that knowledge allows us to learn faster. We learn faster, 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 faster. We absorb. There's so much information. We're eager and we're hungry and we're starving for it. And then it starts to plateau. It starts to plateau. And why does it do that and how does it do that? That's maybe another conversation for another day. But what we then do, so we're learning something about anything and it's slow, slow, slow. It goes faster. It plateaus. Then we get some new information. Something happens. Cody Garbrandt beats Dominic Cruz in 5 rounds, getting better as the fight goes on. We suddenly realize that our knowledge maybe has to start down here again, which will allow us to explore something. And then our knowledge will gain faster and faster and faster until it will plateau. And when that happens, something new and new information, or we'll study something that is connected, our new higher level of understanding is up there. But here, still much higher than we started at, as we learned along the journey, we'll get new information. It'll take a while, et cetera, et cetera. This is how we're going to learn. This is how we're going to learn over years in our lifetime. Is in these S-curves. And these S-curves are relevant to a million things. There's something about life and how we work and, you know, technology and all these things. Well, maybe we'll come back to this in other ways today, but that's how we're going to learn stuff. So all of a sudden, wherever we are on this, and this goes on forever up, and it started at our birth, wherever we are, we just found a new one, right? So that's why you're so thrilled when you were looking to be found wrong. We're searching. We want as often as possible to be so sure with knowledge and experience and learning and study and growth and commitment to have platforms of knowledge that get suddenly shattered. So this is a thrilling time. I was so thrilled to see that. And I was so – Cody Garbrandt is a very sweet and interesting and driven young man. When I interviewed him before those guys freaked out, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, in the 20 minutes we spent on the, you know, on the phone or, you know, I guess video or whatever, talking, he's just such a cool guy. Hey, Robin, how's your Christmas? Just chatting. Yeah, yeah, man, I'm going to start the new year, the champ. You know, it's going to be great. Go celebrate. I didn't believe him. I thought, cool, it's great that his confidence is there. It's great that he sees it this way. He's got the mindset he needs to have, but I didn't believe him. There was no evidence. We'll talk about all that. We'll get into that. But it was so exciting to see. And it's something, you know, among learning how to share ideas, how to grow, how to learn from fighting, how it makes us better people, how to study it. That's what we're doing here. It's also really important to me to try to help share how to be a student. There are some people refer to me as an expert in fighting, and that's very kind. It's very, very kind. I take that as a huge compliment. It was a dream of mine. You know, 10 years ago, I dreamed of commentating the UFC, and I started making steps towards it. I'm going to do it before the end of 2017. That's off track, but I do that a lot. People seem to appreciate when my mind wanders, but I feel sensitive, tentative about it, that I shouldn't go too far. But I dreamed of being an expert in fighting. But now what I realize is I'm just a very good student. And if anybody out there does analyze fighting or talks about fighting or is a journalist, please wake up every day as a child. Wake up every day as a new child and understand that if you think you're an expert, you are done growing. And this has been a theme we've talked about a lot of times. Bob Dylan said, he not busy being born is busy dying. And you have to be born every single day. You have to be a good student, be a good student, be a good student. And good students search for truth and then are thrilled when they are presented with new truths. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's get into it. I'm sure I've been talking for 20 minutes. I haven't even answered a question. I'm sorry. My apologies. This is really fun for me. And I'm really grateful that you guys share this time with me and that I get all this feedback and people are sending questions and we're sharing ideas. It's really exciting. So the first question from Alex. What is a lesson one can learn from the co-main events tonight in life and or MMA? That is the first question because I love it so much. Because right there, with that question, this I'm going to give myself a little credit, or at least a pat on the back that what I'm searching for, what I'm hoping to achieve, I'm feeling is just a little bit is going on here. I don't know if anyone would have asked me that question 8 months ago. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to find meaning in the martial arts, in conflict, in battle, in work, dreaming, chasing, failing, all of that. And so this question, Alex, thank you so much because you're seeing it the way I hope we all see it. We're looking for answers in life. We're looking for things we can take away in search of greater successes in our own life and our own battles. So I really thank you for that question. And I'm going to answer it within all of the other questions. I'm going to take your question and I'm going to use it as a lens for the rest of the day. And thank you very, very much for that, man. It thrills me. We're here to look at this beautiful art form that we watch in hopes of seeing excitement and being shocked and entertained and stuff, but also in finding meaning in it. And I'm thrilled with that. And I want that to be a normal part of conversation by the end of this year. So let's move on. I'm going to use that as a lens. So Joe Nolan, again, this is great. You guys are killing it, fucking killing it. I love it. So at Dominic Cruz shouldn't be ashamed of loss, but Cody, no love, should be very proud. There is a question that follows it, but I just want to acknowledge that. That is so 100% true. How on earth could Dominic Cruz be ashamed of that? Like, how on earth could he be ashamed of that? He dedicated his life. The people, there are people, there will be people that are, that for whatever reason in their own shaping of their life feel compelled to rub somebody's nose in it when they lose. Rhonda will get this much worse than Dom will. And so the people who want to do that, that is a reflection of them. That has nothing to do with Dominic Cruz. That has nothing to do with you. That has nothing to do with me. We should not debate that. We should not engage those people. They're living their own pain. If they're there, ah, Dom C, man, you didn't, you know, that's their pain. We don't need to get into that with them. But when you just remove that debate, how on earth could Dominic Cruz be ashamed of that? He has dedicated his life to getting better and smarter and stronger and more intelligent and chasing something and then having it and defending it against young invaders as he's gone on a path of getting better in life. And he lost because someone else was better. It's exciting. That's fucking exciting. Because without Cody's greatness that he was able to achieve, Dom would not have the potential for a new adventure in his life that he now has. You know, he's getting pretty fucking good at fighting. Also, there's been a few people ask me not to swear because their children enjoy martial arts and would love to share the show, and I will do my best. It's just natural. I'm trying to be honest, and this show and sharing these ideas is about not filtering myself, but I will try my very best. Yeah, Cody's greatness now. Dom was becoming great at fighting. You know, he's plateaued. We're coming back to this. Wherever Dom was in there, he was having a hard time finding the new curve. Cody just gave it to him. Cody just gave him that gift. So he's going to be thrilled. But there are truths to it. There is, with so many things, there are many layers to them. And when we look at one and we talk about one, it doesn't mean we ignore the other. It's just impossible, the limitations of our language and time and how we engage, to be able to look at all things. When we've talked about Dominic Cruz and Michael Bisping and all those guys, Dan, and how much they'd learned from being an analyst by being forced to take a third-person perspective of study, and how much growth that gave them. It's also time. Dominic Cruz has spent a lot of time becoming very, very good at being a television broadcaster. And that time now, he is very good at that. He's going to go into that next week or in 2 weeks or whenever he goes back on that show, and he's going to kill it. It's going to be hard to go back and restudy something that is not so instantly gratifying. He's not getting a paycheck at the end of every training session. He's not getting, you know, 200 people on Twitter saying, "Oh, Dom, you're the best." He's just going in there and sweating his ass off. Sorry, I swear already. I don't know if I'm going to be very good at this part. He doesn't get that. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But if he is still motivated to be the best fighter in the world, Cody gave him a gift. Now, we'll move on to Cody. More important, he should be getting the credit here. What did Cody get so right? Everything, pretty much everything. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. It was near perfect. And I watched it last night through the haze of some tequila and people and yelling and my friends and stuff. And I watched it twice this morning. And the big thing, he pushed and pulled very well. And that was something when I did the breakdown of Connor going into the Diaz fight the second time, that it was push and pull, push and pull, push and pull. Very important. In the lead up, part of Dom trying to really infuriate this kid was about push, 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 get him mad. He'll come forward. But he drew Dom in. Push, pull, push, pull. Knew when to push, when to pull, when to draw Dom in and how to make that work. And when to push Dom when he was up, maybe on a leg, he'd throw it a kick any number of times, when to go in. It was perfectly done. Perfectly done. And so that was one of them. But there were many things. And it like so many issues and so many ways that we look at life, the two distinct things to look at is the micro versus the macro. And the macro is the big picture, is the push and the pull. Timed it perfectly. Executed perfectly. The micro is every little exchange, every little moment all the little moments within it. So the big picture was dramatically important. No one's ever been able to do that. I think that was the key. All of the little micro battles, winning 60 or 65 or 70% of the moments, other people have done that. TJ did that. But the big picture win, the big picture of it. And often it's, again, there's limitations in our language. And when we try to explain things, we hope to do them. So say we're doing a breakdown. It's 3 minutes. We hope to do them in as few words as possible. But these things can't really be told in as few words as possible. There's big, huge picture ideas. But sorry, I got off track, but I'm thinking about this. So this is a book from the 1930s. My father-in-law got it for me for Christmas, How to Fight. It was from Sears. And when you look at macro, when you look at fundamentals, when you look at big picture ideas, these have been around forever. These have been around forever. This book in the 30s, there's a lot of stuff in here that Cody Garbrandt did. And so how and why we're going to say, you know, Holly Holm beat Ronda this way. So all you have to do to beat Ronda is that. Cody Garbrandt beat Dominic Cruz. So now we know how to do it. What we're missing when we have that conversation is we all know how to do it. Everybody knows how to beat Mike Tyson. Just knock him out. Don't get hit by his hooks. I mean, there's obvious, huge, dramatic things. Oh man, you know, against Dominic Cruz, you want to, you know, push him back, or you want to land on his chin. You know, there's all these things. The how and the why is what matters. So we'll say, you know, oh, so and so kicked Diaz's leg, or so and so does this. We've learned nothing because you need to be able to do it. How do you stop Michael Jordan's jump shot? All kinds of coaches can tell you how to do it, but you cannot do it because you need to build the skills necessary to do it. They have to be on this incredible high level, which is why you celebrate the Cody Garbrandt win. It isn't he did the right thing or he figured out how to do it. He was greater than Dominic Cruz. He was great enough to do this stuff. He was able to do this. And the reason that we had such a hard time seeing it was there was no evidence he could do this. None. Enrique Briones, 18 months ago. Cody Garbrandt lost round two to Enrique Briones 18 months ago. And then came back and won a beautiful round three. It was an important fight for him. But that man was, you know, the 90th best bantamweight in the world, the 95th. We had not seen any evidence of Cody. Also, Cody had shown off his push, drive, strive, pressure. He'd shown that off. Never shown this. We didn't know it existed. Ram Dean and I were talking about it on the preview show live, that there was a certain amount of selection. That why did it make sense to have this fight now? Well, you think he's lower than you, and you were sure, and most of us were sure. But also, you also know this is a very special talent who in 5 years you probably can't beat. So go after him now while he's still developing. Get him out of the way so you don't have to deal with him as he gets better. He's still getting better. Cody Garbrandt is getting better. For a long time, for the next 10 years, he's getting better. That's exciting. But let's get him out of the way now because he probably hasn't developed all of these important skills. You'll need to beat me. Oh, shit, he did. He had. He had those. You didn't know it. We didn't know it. Dom didn't know it. I didn't know it. You didn't. Nobody knew it. There was no way to know it because you need evidence. Him saying, oh, man, I can beat you. Or somebody saying, oh, he's my pick to win by decision. Irrelevant. Picks are just randomly choosing something. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong. It doesn't mean anything. Evidence. There was no evidence that Cody Garbrandt could do this. Now there is. Now there's evidence. Now there's truth. You will never unsee that. That happened. It's there. It's documented. It's in video form. It's in zeros and ones on the internet. It's there. It's real. Cody Garbrandt is this good. Now we know. That's exciting. That is exciting. This book, I'm going to just open up anything in here. I had saved a couple of different pages, but this is so cool. So this is the 1930s, and you can feel the intent. You can feel the disdain right off the top for a certain thing. No, sorry. If you are one of these, quote, la-di-da dancers with whom grace of motion is, quote, a thing of beauty and a joy of forever, unquote. In the 30s, some idiot was talking like me, and they were making fun of him. Perhaps this chapter will leave you cold, for it is hardly of the species of, quote, waltzers of which this book will treat. We are interested mainly in, all caps, fighting. Love it. And when we say fighting, we mean knockout fighting. This is fantastic. But so much of this is so relevant. There was something about movement here and how to beat a mover that is absolutely true with how he fought last night. It's about the stance. A good fighter can hardly be expected to con over the pages of a manual on prize fighting while he is being attacked by an opponent. And after all, there is an infinite variety of counters to a certain style of attack. No matter how the writer of a manual may want it to be, he cannot anticipate every style of fighting, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes on to talk about how the stance works and where your left foot is and how your right foot is really mobile and how your left foot is where when your right foot moves, your left foot is the stationary thing. A pivot, basically a pivot, describing pivots in detail in the 30s. That still applies when Dom is moving all the way around out here. What do we need to do? We need to pivot towards him. The thing is, it's not like, well, now we figured it out. All we need to do is pivot appropriately and move small steps to cut off. Everybody knew that already. This was not something Cody discovered. It was just something he was capable of doing that other people were not capable of doing. That's what's so special about it. So when we're looking for explanations, we often look for them in ways that don't credit the greatness of the winner. Cody, everybody knew how to beat Dominic Cruz in the small, limited sense. If I can do these things, I will beat him. We just couldn't do those things. Cody Garbrandt could. I think I've only done one question so far, right, Chase? Chase is laughing at me. Oh, no, we did two. So that's something. Okay. Another question. Three. Ben, sorry if I'm all over the place. As I indicated off the top, tequila was involved last night. Given his amazing run prior to this fight, why did, quote, everyone discount Cody? Okay, I think we've already talked about that a little bit, but let's talk about it further, and let's take the lens of Alex and the lessons in life. So why did we discount him? There was no evidence that he could do this. And him saying he could do this does not carry weight because everybody else also said they could do it, and they couldn't. So there was no evidence he was capable of this type of fight, this ability. When he was able to draw Dom towards him, also, there's many questions about this, so we'll get to them, but winning rounds 4 and 5, no evidence of that of any kind. But now we have it. Now this is the evidence. This fight itself is the evidence. So now discount him at your own peril in the future. But yeah, we just didn't have the evidence. It wasn't there. Dom was nobody could do this. We'd never seen anyone capable of achieving these macro goals. And then Dom was able to get him upset. He also, there's no evidence that he would be one of the special few capable of making that not matter when the fight happened, making that not carrying it into the fight. He was. It's very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, let's keep moving on. How are we doing for time, Chase?
25 minutes.
25 minutes. Thanks for staying with me. It's really cool. I love you guys. Did Cody fool us all in the buildup, or does he have special abilities to turn emotion into technique slash flow? Okay, that's carrying on where we just were. He did not fool us because he is not an actor. He's not an award-winning actor. He does not – Brad Pitt would have a hard time fooling us so consistently. Playing the role of a guy who was stressed out or irritated or angry or agitated at Dominic Cruz. I don't believe that Robert De Niro could convince us of that character ongoing for a while, and certainly not convince me of that as I spoke to him. So it was not – he was not tricking us. He was engaged, emotionally engaged. Does he have some special abilities to turn emotion into technique or flow? Okay, I think we're maybe – turn emotion into technique, no. Be free of emotion or select the emotions that will work for him. So that's the issue of emotions in fighting is not that you cannot be emotional. It's you can't be a slave to emotion. If you are angry, anger is something that happens to you. You don't control it. You don't focus it. You didn't intend to yell at the bus driver. Something just happened and you did it. It's a lack of control. When he's getting up to take his thing off and go over to that room and screaming and stuff, that is losing control. What he did have was the ability to not have that matter, to not be a slave to it, to not be manipulated by it on the night. He was led by Dom during some of the conversations. He did react in ways that he told himself he wouldn't before he sat down. He sat down. He's hanging out with Ali, his manager, and his coaches, and his friends. And they're like, don't let this guy bug you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Just don't even hang on his words. They're meaning, yeah, I know. It's just stupid. And then he gets in there, and Dom with that smirk and this game, his mind, and he just starts getting mad. He told himself he wasn't going to do that. But fuck, damn it. I did it hours later. Now, in those moments, that happened. If that happened in the fight, that would be a problem. So he took the offensive. He chose to take the offensive. Brilliant. And he controlled the situation. He was the one choosing what conversations they were going to have. And when I say conversations, there are conversations within the fight, and some literal, like they were having, talking, and he's answering. And other ones are physical conversations. Things, I'm telling you stories. I'm making you believe things with movement, with fates. Dom has those conversations with you always in a fight. He chose not to hear them. You know, brilliant, really, really brilliant, really brilliant. And this win is not only going to be brilliant for this kid because he's the champ now, and that's cool. He's just a kid. You know, this is how good he is. This is his potential. But also going through this with Dom taught him a very valuable lesson. Hopefully, he will go back and study it with no judgment, but just with a lens of truth. Go back and study it. Ah, geez, I lost control there. Why did I do that? You can learn about life. You can have better relationships with your girlfriends and your family and stuff in life by studying this. A lot of the things that happen in our life is, damn it, I you know, you don't want to go home and fight with your brother or your family member or your wife or your husband or your girlfriend. It just happens. And then after it happens, you tell yourself, oh, man, we're not going to do that. That sucked. I didn't. And then it happens again. You need to be able to study that. Why? Who am I? What's my involvement in it? How did I – what are the things that I need to learn about myself to be able to understand how to do that? Cody Garbrandt has the ability to learn all of that. And he's the champion, and he's going to make crazy money now, and he's handsome, and this kid's life is good right now. But the best part about it is the potential for how much better it can even get, because these are moments. This isn't like, I've arrived, life is good. That, to some degree, we talked about it before, and there are many examples of this. Misha is the most recent example. Life is great. I made it. Well, you stop growing if you believe that. This kid has to start as a white belt as the champion. This is, we have the potential to see new layers up that S curve as he goes. So this is good. This is exciting. We'll keep moving. Okay, I like the – this is great. Can you explain some of the changes Cruz will have to make to beat Cody if they have an immediate rematch?
Cool.
Every time I go to sip this, I think – like I make a slurping sound. I don't know why. When you consciously are trying not to make a slurp – because you know there's a microphone, you do things. Sometimes don't do this. Don't think of the pink elephant. You do. It's a weird thing. Like, your brain is a weird deal. You normally sip. You don't slurp at all, but now you're trying not to do it. You will do it. It's weird. Can you explain some of the changes Cruz will have to make to beat Cody if they have an immediate rematch? I think we have... In our study of fighting, we stall at certain places, and that's natural. It's the S-curves. It's plateaus. But whenever something becomes a way of thinking or something becomes a way of talking, talking a certain way limits us from progressing further down the path. So our search to have things explained easily has really limited our study of the martial arts. And television is a part of that. The producer will say, give me three keys to victory. Well, we got to keep it standing. Okay, now the audience, who doesn't get a chance to study fighting all day because they have jobs and lives and world and so forth, they stall there. Okay, well, I guess she needs to use jiu-jitsu. Or, you know, we need to manage the distance. Each of these things are stops down a learning path. Often they are presented by people. And this was very true. I was a culprit of this. A couple of years back, it's happening all the time now, where people act like this is everything, you know? Well, these are the punches. We need to have good wrestling, good boxing, good jiu-jitsu, good range management, good timing. We just list off a bunch of things, and, well, there we have it. Everything's been explained, you know? It was here. But we know that's not true. We know that that's not true. If somebody describes anything today, wine, baseball, anything. They don't describe it the same way they described it in the 30s. Baseball in the 30s described sounds like a four-year-old is talking about it. Now we know more. We study. We learn. Everything has layers and layers and layers and layers forever. The more we learn, the more we will peel back. Sometimes we will look small at the little details. How does this move? Sometimes we will look big. And that micro and that macro and that shifting of perspectives is what will allow us to know things. Why am I saying that? Is because we want to explain these things. It's better for TV. It makes my job easier. The people who do jobs like mine, to be able to say, well, he should use more leg kicks. Or, you know, if he can just manage the range better. We want to explain these things as if the three bullet points that a producer will ask me to say in the 40 seconds for television, we do that, then the audience learns that, and then we think that way. That's not it. That's not it. The answer is 100 things and nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's fighting. It's fighting. And being a little better on the day, not losing, having a better moment in the first round, changing, not having blood in your eye, being able to cut this young man off early, any of these things changes everything. If this fight was rolled back and we restart it, changing two variables, what Cody ate that day and what Dom was thinking at noon and when he took a whiz and whether or not the red light stopped him on that one, anything. And this fight will be different 100 times out of 100. It's just more growth. It's just even better. It's a breakthrough another layer, peel back another piece, and go in and win the fight. He knows exactly what he has to do, and Cody knows exactly what he has to do, and their coaches know exactly what they have to do. They need to win the big picture. Cody won that big picture fight. And then you need to win the micro battles. And each of those have thousands of variables. And so part of the conversations that we're having, it frightens me a little bit because I'm not sure where we go. And so that means I'm here now. Because we used to talk about where are they in the rankings and who's next for you. And then we started talking about breakdowns, the techniques, how is it going down, what's going to happen, what if he moves his head off the line, what's range management, hashtag, you know, Celtic Cross. We did that for a couple of years. Some people will stay there. We don't want to stay there. Now we go somewhere different. And this is about big picture philosophy. This is about the next layer, the next truths of growth and fighting. Now we start here. And what's scary about that is I don't know how I will do my job with this new S curve. Because I could just go, and when the producer says, okay, Robin, it's going to come to you, tell us a few things about how, you know, Anthony Johnson will beat Daniel Cormier, I can say, well, you know, land the big right hand, stay away from the takedown and circle out. I can get paid doing that. I can have a cool job doing that. I can get in a limo that takes me to work and they put a suit on me and then they pay me and I buy a house and me and my wife, I can do that. But I don't want to do that. I want to go to that next level. What is it? How do we explain this? How do we make sense of the fact that all of this, whatever this breakdown level was, those were lies. They were lies that were limited by how far down the path of the martial arts we had studied. You know, oh, he just needs to check more kicks. You're lying to people. And you're not lying on purpose. You're lying because you don't know better. You don't know better. You know, oh, man, you know, this guy's got better boxing, and, you know, against the fence, you know, he's got better takedown defense. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. It's bullshit that's limited by our knowledge, and we talk about it as if it's true, and we talk about it as if we are experts. We are students continuing to learn and share that idea and urgently help others get that idea so they can learn about this beautiful thing called martial arts and apply that learning to other areas of their life. That's where I am right now, and I think that's what this show is, and I don't know exactly where that goes. And I'm excited about that. I'm frightened a little bit. We've broken through a new thing now. We understand that most of these things are just limited, barely truths. And now we have to acknowledge that and call ourselves to action and figure out where we go from here. There will be times for sure. My job over the next couple of years is going to be at different times. This podcast is going to be where this truth is going to be shared among us. But my job, I'm still, whether I'm here at Fight Network or I contribute something to the UFC or if I've had conversations about contributing something from here to Fox, there will be people say to me, just tell us, you know, how to defend that takedown. And we will. We'll do that. We'll have to do that. That's going to be part of the job. But this is where we're going to figure this out. Okay. Yeah, I'm a little intimidated by this thought, actually, that we're working out here. But onward we go. We move towards it. We move towards the fear. That's what we do. And if something isn't hard, it's not worth doing. And I think that'll lead nicely to this question. This is just fluke. We're meandering, and thank you for coming with me. I really do appreciate it. Jacob Kelly, is definitive language affecting the progression of the game? As in, quote, in this position, you must do this and not do that. I literally couldn't have planned that. I mean, literally. How could you end up? This is all just happening. And we end up with a perfect question. Yes. Language is one of our great limits right now. And the more you study language itself, the more you understand how it is limiting us and limiting our growth. That we're speaking, we're thinking in words. Words are inventions by people long, 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 long time ago. Put together by letters, which are agreements between us, that this looks like this. Looks like that. Oh, looks like that. We just agree. We agreed. That was done. Language hasn't always been here. We invented it. And it was applicable. Then we started thinking in language. Children don't think in language. They don't speak. They think in art and growth and curiosity. But this language shapes our thinking. And it shapes the way that we interact. And we it shapes the way that we hear things, and we think the things we hear are true. And most and much of what we hear is not true. And that's not because someone's lying. It's because we don't know, and there are limits in how to express ideas. So we have this limited world that we have based on the language that we created. And it limits us in thinking. We think in language that is limited. And this is something we've talked about on a further back podcast. There's a few different concepts in here that I would like to try to pull together. One is gossip, okay? And we all do it, and I do it. And I'm now at a point in my life where I'm trying to figure out how to not do it. And you find it is incredibly complicated because our whole world is built on gossip. There's a book called The Four Agreements. And there's another one called The Fifth Agreement, and they are very, very good. And they look at this idea. My friend Tracy Trudeau, she is a psychology professor, or a psychology PhD, I should say. She turned me on to these books. I appreciate them and her very, very much. And it looks at language and how it has limited us. And it shaped – moves you towards gossip as how we talk. And gossip is the limited – whoever we are, we know only what we know, which is very limited. And yet we hear something that we know very little about because we know very little about anything, all of us. And then we comment on it. We express an opinion on it based on our limited knowledge. And then people hear it as if it's true, and they experience it as if it's true. If somebody tells you you're ugly when you're young, you may tell yourself I'm ugly. And that's not true. You're not ugly. You're you. There's nobody that's ugly. There's no such thing. Those are words and ideas that have been created in our culture. There's no such thing. But you'll believe that. That happens because of gossip. And gossip is the number one way that humans communicate. And this is true. We do that. We are taught to do it from the time that we are young. In gossip, we do it. We see it reflected in this thing that we're talking about, the martial arts fighting. You know, this guy said this. Most of the web pages, and I call on them. I used to bring negativity to that. I would see all this gossip, and I would see it as negativity. And my answer was more negativity, which is useless. It made it worse. I just created more negativity. I shouldn't judge them. This is not in judgment. This is in just looking. Most of the websites, most of the way that we talk about this beautiful art of fighting is we talk about what they said. It's people talking about people talking. That happened to fight. And if you open up any of them, and I don't pick on any of them, and I will read them because I need some pieces of data as well. In no particular order, Junkie Fighting, Sherdog, The Underground, all of them. Fightnetwork.com, all of them. People talking about people talking. This guy said this. After the thing, Rhonda's mom said this. Dom said this about the fight. Cody Garbrandt says this about TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw said, we're talking about people talking. And that is gossip. And that is – and it's negative. It harms us. It harms us in our world. It is the most – one of the most negative influences in the direction of how we exist as a people. And so it is the language of gossip that is the number one language. And it is the number one way everything is done. So – my misdirected anger at fighting and pointing, oh, this guy's a gossip, wasted my time with negativity. So we're not going to do that anymore. What we're going to do is try to change it in ourselves. And I've gossiped this week. I've gossiped today. But once you start thinking about it and it matters to you and you want to be impeccable with your word, impeccable, say things that mean something positive, say things that are true as best as possible. Once you pursue that, you will be aware and try to – you will slowly gossip less. I'm going to be impeccable with my word. That's a commitment. Hours later, I've failed. I'm going to start again. And then it'll be days later, and then I'll fail. And start again. It might be weeks. This is an ongoing process. We're going – once we do that, we're taking on the language of the warrior. As a warrior, we are purposefully looking to move towards – away from the language of gossip. So it is a battle. We are battling with ourselves, not with everybody else, not with MMA fighting or Junkie or Sherdog or The Underground, not with any of these people. They're on their own journeys and they're on their own paths. And we're not going to waste with negativity. We're going to lead, and we're going to do it together. We're going to talk about the martial arts because fighting is about fighting. And when we see Twitter beefs. And I mean, I did it when I talked to those guys. I thought my job, you know, you're thinking about my job. I should ask him about this. Cody's coach said this. Dom, what do you think? I failed. I did what everyone is doing and I gossiped. And we're taking on the language of the warrior. We're going to stop doing that. It's going to shape our lives and it's going to shape the world and it's going to shape this beautiful thing we call the martial arts. Fighting is about fighting. And when we see gossip, when we see Twitter beefs, when we're talking about nonsense, when we're majoring in the minor, do you know what I mean? We see the minor. Oh, he missed weight. Let's get on Twitter. Oh, my God, he missed weight. That is a fact. He missed weight. But the love that we have to gossip about it, that's not good. It has led to politics. In the United States, perfect example. In England, it's led to mistruth. It has led to the damage of our environment. It's led to everything. This is our fundamental flaw as people. We're going to combat it with fighting is about fighting. We're going to say that and I'm going to call on you, my friends, to share that. And Chase will put – we have a board that we made. Fighting is about fighting. Whenever we see something, we're going to bring it back to this. Fighting is not about chatter. Fighting is not about gossip. Fighting is not about, you know, who's next or how you called the guy out or what speech you made or what you wore or what haircut you have or not. Fighting is about fighting. Leave this board up, Chase. Fighting is about fighting. Put it everywhere. Say it. Share it. This is going to be something we're using. We're using it all the time. It's our thing. If you tweet it, if you write about it, you don't have to put my name after it. I don't need the credit. You don't have to hashtag Ask Robin Black. You don't have to put at Robin Black MMA on Twitter. But if you do those things, if you do put hashtag Ask Robin, if you fighting is about fighting and you put my Twitter, you include me on Twitter and put the hashtag in, I will follow you on Instagram. Or I'm sorry, I don't know how to do Instagram. I will follow you on Twitter. I will follow you on Twitter and I will do it for one reason. And that is because I want you to DM me. And I'm going to go on what I'm going to call a listening tour. Okay? So if you put fighting is about fighting and you include me and you put the hashtag so Chase will see it, I will follow you. If I do not within 24 hours, please do it again and I promise I will. And I want you to DM me. I want as many as you got. And I want you to DM me what you think about fighting, what you think about the martial arts itself, what they've taught you. All of these things that we focus on. Growth. How it's your life, what you're learning, the lessons, all of it. I want you to DM me and I want you to tell me all of it. I cannot promise that I will respond to all of them. It may be impossible. I work about 12 hours a day and I put 10 and 15 minute chunks of Twitter in and I try to thank people and I try to get back to them because I truly appreciate you spending your time with me. But I do promise I will read all of them. I will read every single fucking one of them. And I want to read them because I want to know what you're thinking. And I want to understand how you see fighting. And I want to understand how you see martial arts because we're fucking taking this to another level. We are taking our study of fighting and our study of fighting and how it relates to life and the philosophies about life that we're learning. And we're taking it further. And I'm going to do that by my listening tour. Okay? So, we're going to move out of the language of gossip. We're not going to argue about it. We're not going to put other people's faces in it. We're not going to judge other people. They're on their own journeys. We are going to move into the language of the warrior, and we're going to do it by leading. So Chase, one more time, put it up. Fighting is about fighting. Share it. Talk to people. Use it as your mantra. And if you see something that doesn't move you with the way people represent the sport, the way it's presented, go back to it. Fighting is about fighting. Fighting is about fighting. It is not about all of these other things. It's about fighting. And again, if you hit me up on Twitter with it and you include my hashtag AskRobinBlack, I will follow you and I want you to DM me. I'm going on a listening tour. I want to learn. I got to grow and I'm going to grow by listening to you guys. Okay. Are you with me? Am I crazy? Could be crazy. I don't know. Like, do you know if you're crazy? Like, I'm driven and I'm passionate and I love what I do. I love it. Is it possible that I'm insane? I mean, I seem to be going through life, making things work and being good to people. And my wife is happy and I have a good job and stuff. So I don't think I'm nuts, but or maybe there's no such thing. I don't know. We'll think about that for another day. Good point, Chase. Very good point. Chase guy. I might actually get Chase to read the questions and we'll put his voice in. I don't know. We'll think about it. We'll think about it. So Chase said, you know, if there's no such thing as ugly, maybe there's no such thing as crazy. It's true. That's right. Or we're both crazy. True. Yeah, I think that's true, though. There's no such thing as ugly. There is no such thing as ugly. There really isn't. We've created this is pretty, this is ugly, this is red. This isn't red in Chinese. It's whatever their word to describe this is what it is. And there's no such thing as ugly. And I guess there is no such thing as crazy. Although that one, I think I also believe in science and medicine. So I think I better keep – nothing to see here, folks. We're just going to move along. Okay. So this – I'm having a great time today. I really am. Honest to God, I'm learning a lot through doing this. And I really appreciate you coming with me. And I really – if you DM me ideas, it's going to help me a great deal and I will be truly grateful. Okay. David Klonsky, PhD. That's my buddy Dave, Dr. David. He is a professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia. We are working on a book together about combat sports psychology. We have written paragraphs that we have then thrown away. My issue now is we are only getting started. So whatever we write, by the time we're done, we'll have to rewrite. But – so we might have to turn that into a podcast and then – I don't know. We're going to do it though. It's going to take a long time. maybe I'm just being – you know what? Actually, maybe I'm creating roadblocks here for myself. We do that sometimes. Maybe the answer is just go in there and write it. Sometimes we do that. We make all these reasons to not do something. Yeah, I'm going to have to give that some thought, Dave. We got to get to work on this. So he says, is there further evolution in TJ Dillashaw's game since the Cruz fight that you can walk us through? Okay. Oh. Yeah, well, yeah. A lot. Can I walk us through it? Okay, well. I'm very hesitant these days. So obviously, you go in, I have 150 breakdowns, maybe more. Maybe I got 200 over the last 5 years. We were doing it a long time ago, and we were going in and seeing these things, and each time you can go further and you learn a little bit more. But now what we get to as you learn more is you get to a point where you know that the things you will explain will be taken out of context. And because of that, because you can only show slices. So in a breakdown, I will say, you know, and these two guys are happening and this fight is going down. You know, what's each guy got to do? Well, and then, you know, if Connor can do a push-pull, you know, and Nate Diaz, he's got to use that shoulder roll. That's all cool. And I love doing it. I love it. Like the Duho Choi versus Cub Swanson breakdown, fucking loved doing that. Like it was such a pleasure to do that. But I also realize now that I am – that out in the vacuum of explaining each of these things, we – especially when we do it with authority, which is how most people, most of whom are very low on their knowledge evolution of where they will be in 20 years by definition, will be like, you know, the thing about this guy is this is how you beat him. It's like, come on, man. You're like – 30 years old, you never fought. You watch fighting, you convince yourself of some truths. The things you are saying is true, but they are, you're limited in what you can say. So we don't want to say it so authoritatively that we are spreading this thing as if it's true. Fighting is, the way we talk about fighting is so often such small slivers of the truth. So that's why, because TJ's game is so complex and the many layers, as you keep looking at things, what Dwayne is doing is a concept called simplexity. So we take anything. We take the way that we're going to move our head and it becomes more complicated. We have different ways. It becomes complicated. Eventually, that complication has to become – it's a whole spider web of something. Now we have to layer it in with another spider web.
how we're moving our body, what the level changes, where our feet is going. Each of these has to become simplified. So although it starts out complex, your understanding makes it a simple process, and then you start a new complex thing and make it a simple process, and you have all these simple things that you have simplified, and then when you put them all together, they're complex again. It's complex simplexity. It's the layering and the relationship between simplicity and complexity. Things are complicated until you can create them in a simple principle. Then you layer them in with other simplified webs of complexity. Simplexity. Okay? There's a really good book on it called Simplexity that looks at this. And this is how we are evolving at such a fast rate as human beings. We are becoming masters of something, thus simplifying it, and then drawing in other ideas, complicating it, and then re-simplifying it. And there's many different ways that this complex relationship between these two things happens. Big part of what Duane is doing. And when I say this, I can talk about Duane in fairly simplified terms because I'm so far back from watching. I study him because I like him. And I like his brain, and I like what he's doing, and it's fascinating to me, and it's exciting to me to do it. But I can only study from far away. And that brings me to something I talked about before. I want to go, and I've asked Matt Hume if I can shadow him for 10 days or so. I need something closer. I need to get closer and get a better first-person view of how some of these guys' new levels of their process is going. But Duane, I'd like to spend some time with and look a little closer one day if I might. And Greg Jackson, too, who I want to do a podcast with. I had a really cool interview with him. So what I'm trying to do, I guess, here is not just give you the, well, range management, pivot point, you know, use cutting angles, comes in on, you know, false starts. Like, those are all limiting words. So what I'm trying to do here is if this is TJ Chase, you see that okay? If this is TJ and this is the opponent, here he's in what we call range 4. Duane, I believe, calls it range 3, but he's probably changed since then. Duane evolved very, very rapidly. And I call it like 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 being I'm chest to chest with you. That is where, you know, 90% grappling, very little striking. I can strike you with my shoulder. I can stomp your foot. If headbutting was allowed, we could do it. But almost all choices of grappling. And as we move further and further out, much less grappling by range 4. The only grappling that can really be done is you catch my kick. You grab my foot. I can kick from here and you can kick me. And then we go into here. I can probably reach. And there are thousands of true layers, but these are the 4 that are easy to understand. Once I move into here, I can touch you with my knuckles. Here, I can touch you with a curved arm, hooks, uppercuts, elbows, knees. And here, I'm chest to chest with you. From these positions, a human being can move. I don't want to get rid of my S curves because I want to come back to it. I think I can draw on the back. A human being can move this way, this way, this way. Does this show okay, Chase? This way. This way, this way, this way, and this way. Now, of course, every little segment in between you can also move, but for simplicity, we're going to do that. So what can we do with that? Well, I can go over there. I can go towards you. I can move away from you. I can move away on an angle. That's it. And I was explaining this to people that work on a video game, and they were like, well, then what? And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, right. Well, the truth is, from there, we can go to here. We can jump into here. We can move out of range. We can move out of range on angles. We can move laterally. And we can move in on angles. And then you go, well, then what happens? But once I step, I can pivot, and then I can do this, and I can do that. All that happens is wherever I go, I can do exactly the same thing. And you get you start at a new base. I can move in any of these directions. So it is not the choice of where you can move that is new. Duane didn't invent anything about – TJ still does this. He's got other stuff. This is hyper-simplified. But TJ can do all the same things you can do. He's just way better. I was trying to teach the guys in the office how to do a Superman punch. How'd that go, Chase? They were terrible. And okay, we're just a knee and one, two, three step thing, but the coordination just wasn't there to do it, right? So you can do all this, but TJ does it faster, smoother, better. He can do it with fakes. There's also little fakes of each of those. So it's oversimplified, but everyone can do this. What becomes magical is when I go to here, I can do all that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can go back and do it. I can move there. Once you start chaining them together is where now he's going to move here. That's where you get this complex spider web of what's going on. And that's what he's mastered. That's what's fucking happening there is it's still all the same stuff. And there's many layers, because now we've got the forward, the backward, the side, the angle. Now we've got it with fakes. Now we've got in and out, returning to where we were with every new option, staying there with every new option, halfway to something with every new option, different height, different weight, with a punch, without a punch, but it's all the same shit. It's the stuff people can do. Dwayne just opened it all up. And TJ threw, and again, great. Hey, Robin showed me how to fight. I can do what TJ does. No, because you have to understand how to train a person to do this. That's what Dwayne does. That's what all these guys do. Any idiot can sit around and do this, show you this. I'm not inventing anything here. What's hard is making the human body and mind capable of doing these things. When you see the Olympics and you see somebody doing a gymnastics routine, and so somebody says, what did they do? They ran, they jumped, they did a flip, they landed, they bounced, they rebounced. Anybody can describe that. How do you learn it? How do you make a human body do it? How does that person train it? How do they perform it in the moment? What are humans capable of? Why did we think you could only do a triple spin 5 years ago, but now we found that the human body can do four and then five? That's what Dwayne's doing. Everything that you see when you watch a figure skating routine or a gymnastics routine or a high diving or people flip motorcycles or whatever, once upon a time, the motorcycle could just do this. The human body and the human mind is capable of doing all the things you see a motorcycle do. But at one time, it could only do that. Someone had to understand, learn the principles of it, learn the physics of it, learn what it was capable of, and then learn how to teach it. We know that you can flip a motorcycle four times. How do you teach a human being to do that? That's what they do. That's what they do. So in the end, as we're like saying, oh, you know, he uses an off-rhythm thing and with the – and, you know, he shifts his weight in a – you can do anything. Human beings are capable of anything. It's the fact that he is capable of doing these things and, you know, other people are not. That's what it comes down to. Then we make him able. We first have Dwayne understand all these layers. And I've hyper-simplified. Now we're doing things in the three dimensions of distance and range and up and down and timing. And you start using time as a fourth dimension. I know that sounds a little bit out there. But where something is related to another thing, the speed at which it moves creates the relationship between the two things. So all of this is going on. So how do you explain that? You know what I mean? That's what my new real challenge is. Because the way – what we end up doing is explaining it as simply as possible. A lot of – a possible motivation is to sound smart, get paid, have a job, and then, you know, make some catchphrases. And I definitely went through that phase. Celtic cross, you know, flim flam. That's fun, though. It was really fun. If I'd have stayed there, I might have been better off. I can say all that stuff. And if I get a role to do something over here on the set, I will do those things because that's what is asked of me. And I'll enjoy them. But this is where we're going to figure out how to really tell the truth, what it means, and how it's done and how it's learned. And it's going to be frightening because there are reasons we do the things the way that we do them. There's reasons we talk this way. It's easier. It makes sense. It's quantifiable. Robin's the guy who says flim flam. His breakdowns are really good. They're 4 minutes long. He shows both guys. He shows what they can do and what they cannot do. It's really cool. He wears flashy shirts. I like that. Cool. We'll give you $50,000 a year. Do that thing. You know? Oh, we'll fly you down here. Would you like to come on this set and do that? And I will do that because that's cool. That's a cool job. And I like doing it. And I know that we're sharing it in a way that people like. People have fun watching fights and people have fun learning about fights. And, you know, hey, man, that glittery jacket was sure shiny. And I love that when you said flim flam. I like that. I appreciate it. But if I stay there forever, eventually we will stagnate and we will not go further. We will not learn more. We will not get where we want to go in our understanding of martial arts and how it carries on to our life. I know I'm sounding crazy now. I know it's true. But okay, this I can sort of explain a little better than whatever this is. Chase, what is this? Did it make sense? If you do DM me, can you tell me what if I was making sense to you there? Because that makes sense to me. And what I'm saying I know is based in truth. So that I want to tell you the truth. I don't want to say, oh, man, he's got better at range management, you know. He cuts angles really well. You know, what does that mean? Are we really doing anything or are we just, you know, you asked, so I gave you some answers, you were satisfied. Ah, cool, I thought it was range management, yeah. I thought it was level changes, yeah. Oh, man, nobody cuts angles like that guy. You know? But we want to go further, so I hope that's okay. But this one, yeah. So anyway, sorry, Dave. I don't think I did a very good job there. But the truth is, to simplify these things and to come up with buzzwords that I can use over there on the set, or if I do something for the UFC that's a 3-minute piece or whoever, I will do that. And it will be fun. But I'm going to understand the limits of the language and the time and the environment and what's asked of me. And this is what we're studying in our real time, in our off time. And so I guess another interesting thing about this for me, I'm telling you the kinds of things that I'm working on for long periods of time and then refining it into a 2-minute or a 1-minute moment of a breakdown where I don't get to do this. But how can I do it in a way using a story or a symbol or an analogy that will tell this story in that? And I think I just figured out, yeah, that is my job. That's what my job is over there, is this truth that we can share about these ideas here. We'll have to narrow it down in such a way that I can do it in 30 seconds or a minute or 3 minutes using symbols, rituals, analogies, stories, examples, words, language, and that's the job. Yeah, cool. Thanks for helping me work that out. I know you didn't say anything, but you did really help me work that out. Because for a second there, I was just having a existential issue that this is what I want to talk about, and this is what I'm hoping we really get into when we talk about fighting, but I'm still going to have to say knockout power in both hands at some point if, you know, I'm doing a 30-second piece for the UFC's digital. I'm going to have to figure that out. And I can do that because this I do with my friends and I'll do it with you guys here. And then we'll refine that in such a way that we can say it to somebody who doesn't sit here for an hour on New Year's Day hanging out with Ask Robin Black. They only watch an hour of fighting a month. Give them something they can handle. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for helping me work that out. Oh, I feel so much better. What's the strategy philosophy behind TJ's constant stance switching and how was it created? Awesome question. I didn't drink any tequila or anything this morning. I'm just in this kind of mood. That's it. Yeah. I don't ever drink tequila in the morning, by the way. I don't know why I had to clear that up. Besides deception, what's the strategy philosophy behind TJ's constant stance switching and how is it created? Well, Dwayne talked to me about this a little bit, and so we'll start with a couple of philosophies. How are we doing for time, by the way, Chase? We're at an hour and 10 minutes. If you've stayed with me through this shit, I'm so grateful for you. You're a good friend. Orthodox. Our left hand is forward. There's many reasons that people have trained this way for a long time. Their power hand is back. Power leg is back. There's a lot of reasons. This way, Bruce Lee decided power hand forward. He built a whole world of thought and thinking around that. The shortest distance between my body as far as it is out and you is my power hand. There's a lot of reasons for that. There are people who believe never switch the stance. Why would they believe that? Because if I train my entire – let's say I have 10,000 hours and I train them all this way. I am so – and I will train against you as both. I've focused all my training. The 10,000 hours have all been focused on a structure that in theory will be better by doing that. Marcelo Garcia only works to one side all of his life. He's the best jiu-jitsu player in the world. Only goes to one side. He's developed games to switch it to that side when necessary, and that's it. Doesn't work. He still submit everybody you know if you ask him to go the other way, but he doesn't do it because he's put all that energy into that. Some people will switch. Now they create a problem for you. What they may do if they have not trained enough is create some problems for themselves. They are going to their second best thing. Their entire macro, their entire structure of what they're doing is now second best. Because they haven't trained it as much. Also, the thing that degrades the most may be your defensive assignments because you're not spending that much time in there. So you're not quite as comfortable with the defensive choices. But if you train it equally, neither one is your second best. That's what Dwayne wants. He wants them both to be equally good and to focus the training in such a way that he isn't worse by – you aren't worse on one side than the other. And so he may accomplish that because of the way he trains you. But this is what he told me about in particular. The biggest reason for him and what he loves and what excites him, I think, and what is the universe that it opens up in the moments between switching. Your feet – move from here to here. They may move there first. They may be squared up. There may be no stance. So to him, there are either three stances or no stances, southpaw, orthodox, and the entire universe in between those two things. In the shifting from one to the other, you create an entire world that is its own open stance. And if you are not familiar with that, TJ gonna fuck you up. Like, bad. You don't know what's happening. It's all unfamiliar, and unfamiliar is just – it's too much for the brain to be able to process in real time. We're going to talk in the future about what's going on in the brain during fighting because that's a fascination of mine. It's really truly fascinating. But your brain has enough going on in there. You've trained it, and you're asking a lot of it, but now you've got an entire universe of novel experiences, and that's where they're going. That is one of the hundreds of layers of things that is unique to Dwayne Ludwig's thinking. And you have to deal with that. You have to deal with it. And you're not going to deal with it very well. And if you try to prepare for it, you're preparing for what you saw that they were doing a long time ago. They're already better. They already have things you don't know. So we're going – I know I've been rambling a lot today, and I thank you for hanging with me. We're going to go into that in some detail. I'm going to try to get Dwayne on, I think. You want to do that? Should we do that? We'll get Dwayne on, and we'll get some questions that you guys ask. Yeah, let's do that. Sometime in the next few weeks, not right away. So you will – I'm sure that people will send me questions for Dwayne, but don't yet. Wouldn't it be funny if that was him? But don't yet because I'm going to take him closer once we've set this thing up. So we'll take some questions and we'll ask Dwayne. That'll be cool. That'll be really cool. One thing I do want to say about TJ is he looked spectacular, obviously. It's a beautiful. It's wonderful to be able to watch that and see it. You know, when we're getting to the level of being able to know what we're seeing and then we're seeing new things and we're seeing Dwayne's peeling back new layers of the onion further and further and further. And you're starting to spot what he's doing. And I know not everybody is. And I'm excited and I want to share with you. All that. Beautiful. Huge fan of TJ. And I'm a huge fan of what he's going to become and what Dwayne's going to become, what Dwayne will be in 5 years. That's exciting. And I'll be here to study it, I hope. But I actually didn't think there were some ways that I didn't like TJ's performance. Now, I could be wrong, and I will ask Dwayne about it when we get the chance. But there were moments where I felt like he felt that everything he did had to be spectacular. And I don't mean showing off or anything. He was just – his expectations of himself made it so that he held back in periods waiting for some big thing because he knows he can do it. And it is not something he planned or wanted to do. But I bet you he – as brilliant as that was, I bet you there are things in that performance he can look back and go, I wasn't free the way I wanted to be. He was looking for home runs and not like, I want to knock him out. He knows that's not the case. Just he wanted greatness of himself, and the greatness comes just by him being himself. So there were things about it where that I don't think was 100%. That was not an A+ for him. But think of that. What if he agrees? He might not. He might be like, oh, God, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Dwayne's giving me very big compliments about what we're doing here. Very big. Some of them on camera, which is very kind of him. So I don't think he would be like, this guy's an idiot, because he's told me that I'm not. So thank you, Dwayne. But having said that, TJ might be like, I don't know what that guy's talking about, man. I had a virtuoso performance. That's free. That and he knows I don't. But if he were to say, you're right, man, I was like a B. I just wasn't what I can do. Imagine that, if that's the case. Imagine if that was him having a decent performance but not getting the best out of himself. What does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, we're not criticizing, we're not gossiping. We're looking at the possibility that what you saw, the genius that you saw, was him not quite nailing it. Think of that. Think of what that means, if that's true. We're going to try to get to a couple more, and then we're going to go. It's New Year's Eve here, right now, this moment. It's coming up. You could be watching this at any time. That's the magic of the internet. And if you are, if you've hung in here for an hour and 15 minutes, and it's like April of 2018, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. How does Cody game plan for a potential fight against TJ? Is it advantageous that they have trained together? Advantageous for who? You know? Think about it. Is it an advantage? You and me have trained together. We've sparred together. We know each other a little bit. Is that an advantage for you? If it is, it's an advantage for me too, right? And if it is an advantage for both of us, is it an advantage at all? You know? Think about it. We both learned. We both know. We both experienced. The guy who does the better job of using that knowledge and knowing what about it is true and untrue and digesting it or getting rid of it or applies it in the best way. So it is not an advantage for either of us, and or it's an advantage for both of us. But how we use that is going to be the difference. Who can use it? Who's got something out of it? And I don't just mean knowing that your left hand drops or whatever. This is my right. I don't know why I did that. It is in every way. You know, TJ was – we've seen guys be able to weaponize their words. You know, are you able to remind him of a fear he has? Are you able to – not just saying stuff, the language of gossip to get people to click on your thing. If you do that, that's your choice. No judgment. Not that. But are you able to truly, whether it's in public or something you say to him, have him remind him or something physical or something you show or use that knowledge in some way to create a fear or a doubt or an insecurity in him? Can you do that? I mean, so whatever advantage it is, it will be the advantage for the guy who has the better use of that advantage, the better use of it, the better application of it. How does he game plan for a fight against TJ? We didn't go into the real details of the macro. We talked a little bit about this book and the fact, wherever it is, that my father-in-law bought me, and the fact that the things he did are fundamental truths. There are truths and then there are myths. If people start treating the myths as if they're true, then bad things happen. But the truths are the truths. This is the truth. This is what you do, you know. He used small, sharp, intelligent, well-calculated fundamentals to beat the best fighter in the world, Dominic Cruz. And so then people are like, oh, yeah, I talked to Robin Black. He said the way to beat Dominic Cruz is fundamentals. Yeah, the elite of the best of the best. That's like saying Michael Jordan hits all his jump shots, so the best way to shoot is a jump shot. The best way to shoot is Michael Jordan's jump shot. So it isn't just they are fundamentals. They were fundamentals expressed perfectly in combat by Cody No Love. I've never said that before. It sounds weird. But so he can do that. That's the way to beat TJ too. In theory, that's the way to be the best fighter in the whole world, is to be great at the root truths of fighting. It isn't, oh man, you got to have a killer jab. George St. Pierre had a killer jab. Is the jab the way to be George St. Pierre? No. the when and how to use it and the way it's expressed. And so fundamentals, if you're going to beat as the way to beat complexity is with simplicity. The way to beat simplicity is with complexity. People used to say, oh, you know, you brawl a boxer and you box a brawler. Hey, wait a second. If I brawl a boxer to win and he boxes a brawler to win, who's going to win? The better fighter. You know, ultimately, the better fighter in the moment. The tactics are important, but that's not the end of our conversation. Oh, you got to box a brawler. Okay. Everyone knows you got to box a brawler. Every single person who fights a brawler tries to box him. The brawler beats lots of them. There's never a way, and there's always a way. There's always a way. You just have to find it. And the way for Dominic Cruz to beat Cody Garbrandt is the way he fights. And he didn't do it on Friday night, December 30th. And if they go to fight again, will any of you fall into the same trap? Oh, man, Cruz is going to – Cody will smash him. You know, beat him last time. Couldn't even touch him. You know, no, it'll be different. It'll be different. The amount of, when I predicted that Michael Bisping was going to beat Luke Rockhold, people just made fun of me. Oh, didn't you see last time, bro? Did you see it? He beat him with one arm. I mean, it's different. They're a fight. That's why we watch them. That's why we watch them. And are we going to immediately, every single moment that we've ever seen of Dominic Cruz is now irrelevant because now it's, no, Dominic Cruz is a genius. He's a fucking absolute genius. Figure it out. So is TJ Dillashaw. And apparently so is Cody Garbrandt. So what does that mean? We got some killer fights coming up ahead, and they will be very it is going to be tougher and tougher to predict because they're getting more and more skillful and talented, and there's more layers. It's an exciting time to be studying fighting, man. Oh, this is good. My buddy Dean Panis. Dino. I've commentated some fights in Edmonton with Dino. After Garbrandt's title win, do you think more fighters will have balloons inflated in their nostrils? Dino. I like that. I know what you're getting at, I think. People do weird, random crap, always in search of an advantage. That balloon didn't do anything. It's stupid. And even if there is a tiny medical, if he had some breathing problem, they're like, this is the application for that breathing problem. Here's the medical technique to be able to address that. Go do it. But if it's like, hey, that guy won the championship, maybe the key is balloons in the nose. You're losing your mind. I know Misha was on Joe's podcast. Cheers to Joe Rogan. Oh, Goldie, thank you for the for helping us fall in love with fighting all those years, by the way. Misha was on Joe's podcast talking about hypnosis. Actually, Joe mentioned hypnosis to me. We meandered in the conversation, but he did it and he found it interesting. But Misha didn't win any fights after that. The hypnosis was badass. Man, I feel good. I had my hypnosis. You know what I mean? If there is some value that you take, some confidence that you take from something, that's not a bad thing. But if it's not true, if it's a false confidence that you take because, well, I got the balloon in the nose, I'm ready to go, that's not a good thing. Ultimately, I know you were kidding, Dean, and the balloon was goofy. But hey, if it's an actual medical thing that needed to be done, it serves a purpose, great. If it's like, hey, man, more fighters got to do it, we're all losing our minds here, which I think we are today anyways. This will be our last question of the day, but I'm sure I'll keep chatting for a bit. If you're listening on iTunes, thanks. That's super cool. People send me messages that they heard this on iTunes. Thanks to the Fight Network people for putting it there. That's wicked. And please share this and pass it around. If you haven't watched the other ones and you found my meanderings interesting, please go back and check them out. And thanks for sharing. And thanks for all the kind words. People like making GIFs of the podcast. And really cool people like John Anik and people had reached out and told me that they liked it and stuff. Oh, by the way, end of January, I'm going to go and get together with Brandon Schaub in California. We're going to do something with him, a fighter and the kid or something just with him, which is going to be super cool. Yeah, I can't wait. That's going to be really fun. Brandon's a cool cat, and I'm going to LA to hang out with him. So that will be cool. So tell that story. Get that word out. That would be good. We'll probably come back here. Might be a few weeks. Okay, so please stay in touch because I'm going to commentate TKO in Montreal. I'm going down to LA at the end of the month. I'm going to Las Vegas next week. I'm taking my wife to Las Vegas. It was her Christmas present from me. So yeah, I don't know. We'll plan something. Maybe it might have to be a midweek thing or something. We'll get something going. I haven't thought past today. I haven't thought past right now. Right now. How about now? I'm really dumb today. Sorry. Please forgive me. Last question. Is Edmund questionable as a coach? Rhonda simply got done because she didn't have the basics. She got stung by 3 jabs in a row. Okay. Okay, good question. Good question. We didn't talk about Rhonda today. Such brilliance out of Cody Garbrandt. Why is it so brilliant? Because Dominic Cruz is so brilliant, right? Rhonda, God, that's a whole other thing. Maybe let's get some questions together for Rhonda for the next one. Let's do that. But I don't want to – we're trying not to gossip, right? Like we're trying to be the language of the warrior. So I don't want to, you know – come down on our coach and just pile on, which is what we have a tendency to do. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's try to look at whatever evidence and truths we can find, things that we believe are true, and we'll try to scrutinize them to see if they're true. So she comes from the world of judo where she was one of the best in the world and brings that elite level of world-class athleticism to fighting along with just a ferocious mindset. And an armbar that just won't quit, that she's learned since she was like 5 years old. That fight, that natural ability to fight, it's not natural. If some, oh, that guy's a natural something, I don't think there's such a thing. These things get created in us and we stimulate and create and encourage and develop from the time that we're young. And in her case, it's little. Started. She was a fighter. She fought people. She threw them through the air. She ripped their arm off. She fought them. She's been a fighter her whole life. An incredible athlete. An incredibly driven person. There's a blog. There's a post up on her mother's blog site where her mother talks about all the things this young lady has accomplished before the age of 30, and it's quite impressive. And she's a very special human being and somebody you can learn a lot from. And she's made some mistakes, and you can learn from those too. You can just ridicule her and stuff if you like. That's your choice. A lot of people are doing that. But you can learn things from her. And then once you start learning things from her and putting yourself empathetically as best you can into imagining what it might be like to be her, really imagine, really do it, work hard at it, you'll feel bad. She's just a scared little girl, you know? And the whole world makes fun of her, and she when she fails publicly and in ways that are so painful to everybody. But when you are so driven to win, it'll be painful on a level that nothing you've ever experienced. And I mean the type of connection, the people that are watching this that have lost a loved one, like truly like the real incredible types of pain that you can experience, that's how her body and mind will process the failures that she's facing. Once you imagine that's you, you'll look at that very differently. So she comes in from a world where she is one of the great athletes to ever step in there, combat athletes, fighters, fighter mentality, mind, physical, trained, Olympic-level athlete in a world where, you know, some pretty tough girls go and learn to fight for 5 years. She's going to murder all those people. Along the way, you should learn to add the other skills that are a part of free fighting. The women's fighting was developing at a slower pace because development happens as commerce is brought to something. Commerce is brought to something as it becomes viable to make money in it. So when women's fighting was not viable to make money, the best coaches didn't spend their time there. The best people studying it didn't spend their time there. The best research, knowledge, fighters. The women who fought for a love and a desire to test themselves and some strange thing deep in them. It wasn't because they could make a living. So it developed slower. And much like in the early days of fighting, Hoyce Gracie went in there. People didn't know what the hell was going on, and they tapped out. And people understood fighting with the women she faced, understood fighting on a higher level, but extrapolate that over years and you take the super athlete and you put them in there. But over time, that won't be enough. We're going to get knocked out if we don't learn all the other stuff. Fighting is a complex thing. You're using a specialized knowledge of judo and grappling and arm bars to win it. So we have to learn the true open free fighting. And to do that, she enlisted somebody to teach her to box. The person that she got didn't have a track record of building any champions or top 20 or 40 people. So there was no track record of any viable success that her coach had ever built. And she committed to him anyways. For whatever reason, some of them are personal, psychological, and sometimes people just, you know, what is easier for you to do? Work really hard for 20 years and get really good at something, really, really good. Test yourself, push yourself, strive, try, fail, and become great. Or just convince somebody, if you can find your way just to having a champion, that'll be a shortcut. That'll be better, easier. It will not be better. It'll be way worse, but it'll be easier. It's a shorter route. And that may have been what happened. For whatever reason, she ended up with someone who has no history of any success in boxing or kickboxing or any other field. And then she has lost. She's absorbed. I heard it was 100 strikes over the last two fights, 7+ minutes. I don't know if that's true. So please don't treat that as gospel. But she got beat up a lot over those last two fights, a lot. And knocked out and then TKO'd out on her feet, and showed signs that her striking, her ability to kickbox is not on that high level. Whose fault is that? If it's you, if you're thinking about it, you're better to think it's your fault. Now, it's my fault. My fault. I lost. I got knocked out twice. Why did I do that? In finding your fault, in studying for your fault, which is going to be the way you can fix that, one of the things that could be your fault is you chose the wrong people. And you ignored the signs that you should have moved on. People think that staying with somebody, being loyalty, like many things, loyalty is a very good trait, but there are limits to it. You know, you are loyal to a friend. If that friend were to butcher a baby animal, would you be loyal to them? And I use that as an extreme example. And I apologize if it's jarring. The reason I use such an extreme example is just to illustrate at some point there are limits. Loyalty is not something that is a zero or a one and it's on and it's on forever. You must choose to be loyal or find that there are good reasons to not. And if your goal is to be the best in the world and you're loyal to somebody who is not helping that goal, you're making a mistake. So she should find her own fault. Her fault may be staying with somebody that she shouldn't be with. Definitely, even in the beginning, the way she was moving, it didn't look like she had done a lot of kickboxing sparring. And I can understand that, where you'd be like, I'm going to go back to what I do. I'm going to close the distance and get a hold of her. But you have to pass through space, and people have evolved. And So am I qualified to say he's questionable as a coach in real life? I'll say it on the desk. I'll say it when my job is to put things like that out there, and I am employed as a television analyst in the role to say stuff tomorrow or Tuesday when they ask. I'll say, oh, man, this guy, because that's the job. But do I truly think I'm qualified to be able to say he's questionable as a coach? I don't know everything. We take the things that we see and we act like that's 100% of the truth, when what it is 100% of what we see, which may be 1% of the truth. Was he seemingly incompetent when Travis Brown fought his last fight? He was. And was he seemingly incompetent in these two fights? He was seemingly incompetent. But that's not the whole truth. That is 100% of what we see, which is 1% of the truth. So who knows? But probably. I guess that's it. It's been really fun. It really has. And I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of this. I think this is my new thing here. You know, wherever we were, and then breakdowns. And I'm going to do breakdowns forever. I love them. I love going in there and breaking stuff down. But I'm going to always add the things we learn and work out in here to them. So it's never going to just be technical stuff. It's going to be psychological. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be growth-oriented. It's going to be movement. It's going to be time and spirit and all those things. But I think this is my new one. I think we're just starting here. We're just starting at the bottom, and we're going to find where this goes. I'm frightened a little bit. We're opening up a lot of things, and by admitting that the things that we say about fighting right now are limiting beliefs that are like very low level limiting beliefs, we admit that we don't really know much about what we're doing, and that's scary, but it's really exciting. It means that we have so much ahead that we can learn, and I'm really thrilled about that. Thank you very much for hanging in here with me. I don't know when the next one will be, but I will put the word out. We are going to target maybe – it might be the beginning of February by the time we get live with this because of TKO, Brendan Schaub podcast, Vegas. I've got a bunch of stuff, but we will do a couple more this month for real. And thank you so, so much. And please, Chase, put that up again. If ever something pops up and you're not, it doesn't feel right, it feels like the language of gossip and you want to be talking the language of the warrior, fighting is about fighting. That's what we're going to say. That's our mantra. That is our call to arms. Fighting is about fighting. We're not going to talk about what it isn't. We're not going to talk about what it's not about. We're not going to criticize the things that we see. We're just going to use this as a starting point to think. Fighting is about fighting. And if you include me on Twitter and you put our hashtag in there, I'm going to follow you. And then I'm going to ask you to DM me. I'm going on a listening tour and I'm going to learn as much as I can about the way that you see fighting and what you want to see. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing this. And thank you for sharing time with me. And it really, truly means a lot to me. Black out.